Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Young Love. I'm very excited to have you. I'm your host, Jay Patel. I'm joined by my co-host, Sam. Sam, please say howdy to the audience.
Oh, I could say howdy, all right. Hello.
I love it. Love it when you say howdy. It's like a war cry for the Vanguard. And if you don't know what the Vanguard is, I'll get into that later. But we're going to get started. We have a lot to go through. If you don't know who me or Sam are, I would suggest you go and watch the previous episodes. We want to keep this one a little bit shorter, so we're just going to get right into it. Mm-hmm. So first things first, I want to give a big shout out to Chase for letting us use his YouTube channel to host this show. Thank you, Chase. Everyone say thank you, Chase. Thank you, Chase, in the chat whenever this airs. And then I also want to give a big shout out to Stephanie. She's the person who is basically running all this. And she is the leader of our sexuality SIG. And if you don't know what that means, you should join the Discord server, like now. And there will probably be a link for that somewhere in the chat. Someone will probably post something, one of the mods.
Yes, sir.
And I mentioned the Vanguard and the Cartel. Those two things are very important. So the Vanguard is our men's group, and the Cartel is our women's group. This is where we take women and men from the community, and we sharpen them and help them become more feminine and masculine. And they are also a very important part of our community and a big part of the SIG too. It's actually, we have a lot of our contestants here are from the men's group and from the Cartel, so they're going to be representing all the work we do, and they're going to set an example, basically. Mm-hmm. And then, so now we can get into what the show is. And Stephanie has given me a lovely paragraph to read over and over again, because I'm not going to memorize this. So, what is Young Love, and what is Jungian sexuality? Jungian sexuality is a praxeology. It is an ongoing study of the actions and conduct that shape intersexual relationship dynamics. It is a comprehensive examination of the perspectives which affect human relationships within several paradigms, including but not limited to Jungian psychology, biology, anthropology, history, law, and case study. A big note is that this is not the red pill, nor is the purple pill. It's not any white, black, brown pill, no color pill. It's all those pills are incomplete, and they do not account for masculine idealism, which is the source of love and responsibility in a sexual relationship from a man. So we emphasize both the alpha and the beta traits when it comes to developing our men in the Vanguard and the men's group. So how is the rest of the show going to look? So the outline of this show is we got all these women here, and you have one mystery man. The mystery man is not revealed yet. And the mystery man will be here, and he will be answering our questions, and the woman will be answering our questions. And the women are going to try and qualify for the men. And see if they fit in the men's frame. And then the men will see if he will choose any of these lovely ladies as one of his women. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, who knows? That depends on our mystery man. So the hosts, me and Sam, we're just here to drive conversation, ask questions, get things started, so that the contestants can talk to each other and have a good time. Hopefully it's spicy. Hopefully it's entertaining. And yeah, we're gonna get right into it. So one other thing, I will not be tolerating, and I hope my staff here does the same, I will not be tolerating any slander to the contestants. They are really putting themselves on the line here and showing us a lot of humility, especially the women. So if I see anything negative in the comments that's not constructive or it's just insulting, that is not good. So please don't do that. Please show them some mercy. Otherwise, I will not show you any.
We love wrath.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got some chai here. I know we got some coffee lovers on camera. We got people drinking coffee and chai. Also, for anyone who says chai tea, should probably dig a ditch for yourself and put yourself in there, because you're basically just saying TT. So, unacceptable. I'm just kidding. Anyways, Sam, you can go ahead and introduce the woman.
Okay. I just gotta say, we got a lovely crowd in here, and I am proud that I'm the one showing the most cleavage.
Congrats.
Alright, up first we have Gargi. She is a verified INTJ UDUF from West Bengal, India. She likes to watch anime and sketch and paint, and I've seen some of her art, and I enjoy it. I'm like, keep it up. And she also enjoys listening to music. She's trying to develop some of her writing skills and her guitar skills to get closer to her ESFP side of the mind. Something that sets her apart from the others is she's good at remembering faces. Yeah, that's... I can't do that. And her ideal man is someone she can rely on, willing to be patient, and have a grip on social situations to cover for her blind spot. Sounds like my ideal man, too. Up next, we have Jessie. Now, her type isn't verified yet, and we'll be showing what her type is at the end of the episode. She's 23 and has 5 siblings. She helps her dad manage his store. She's shy around strangers, but she can be quite funny when she gets comfortable with others. Her ideal man wants someone who she cherishes and spoils, still practicing to become more feminine, and hopes that her man can be competent in psychology and polarity, and lead her through that. She wants him to initiate with her because she gets nervous around people she likes. Ooh, woo. He has to be fun and have a good relationship with his parents. He has to be tall and handsome, and can't have any woman besides her. Up next, we have T-Tab, verified INFP. Quite recently, by the way. Congrats on the verification. She watches only one movie in theaters per year. I haven't gone to the movie theater since 2014. Step it up. She likes cooking, and she wants to be a professional writer in the realms of fiction and nonfiction. She moderates books remotely for her favorite book site. Moderator, that's cool. I'm a moderator too. She loves winters and oranges, Octobers and jasmines, roses and laughter, wit and intellect. That's an assortment of items. I'm glad you enjoy them. Her ideal man makes more than her, smells clean, has good judgment, shouldn't be unhealthy, should want her. Should be competent and interested in a productive topic. And she's glad to be here and is thankful for the opportunity. I'm glad you're here too. And we got Annie, 25 years old, UDSF INFJ. She's very passionate about the women's group and feels honored she's chosen as a moderator. Oh my gosh, another moderator! Let's go! So many moderators here. Raise your hand if you're a moderator, everybody. We'll get the others going, no worry. Let's see. Fits perfectly with her desire to learn and implement everything she can, being the best possible feminine version of herself. Finds a lot of meaning helping other women by connecting with them and sharing what she has learned. And fun fact, homeschooled from age 12 and onward, probably for the best. My goodness. The education system. Her ideal man takes leadership and her best interests into account. Makes her feel safe, physically and emotionally. Challenges her on her faults. And values children and nature. All that is very good. And I hope you guys do find your ideal man.
I hope they do too. Awesome. So before we introduce the mystery man, I have a few guests here who would like to say their piece to the audience and the contestants here. One of those people is Jack. He's a very respected member of the community.
I love him.
So Jack, you can go ahead. And yeah, I know. I love him too. Sexy.
Hey girls, I just wanted to pop in and say I am very proud of what I have seen all of you grow into. I started in the community maybe like 6 months ago, and then just seeing all of you become feminine and very core in your values and the way that you present yourselves has been very beautiful this entire time and getting better. And I wish you luck.
Awesome. And the next person we have Color looking like a badass with his shades and his jacket.
Yeah. He was in the last season.
Yes, he's an alumni. Color, what would you like to say to everyone?
Hi guys. I'm Color of the Sky, and first of all, it's nice to see all of you. You know, success to the woman and baseness to the man. First of all, I feel like I came into this like classical meal, and I'm like here to order beer or something, you know. But yeah, to bring some fun and some laughter. But as far as I understand, I'm here to give some advice or something, which is like the worst person to take advice from. I should be, but I will still try. I can only speak from the male perspective, probably. And if we are supposed to like treat this as an actual picking a date or like picking a woman kind of procedure, which I believe you should, then my advice would be that to be careful, to be very careful, because picking a woman is a very it's picking responsibility, if that makes sense. And you cannot really get rid of it as well. So that's very, you'll be locked up in a way, which is good. You want that, you know, that's okay. So you should get to know the participants and what may they need, I guess, from an SC perspective, I can talk. What may they need in their life and how can you provide these things. And they'll bring challenge because they're women. And what kind of those challenges, like, are those challenges welcomed in your life is basically what you should be thinking about. And yeah, that's all I can say for the men. To women, I don't know. I have never been a woman, if you couldn't tell. But I can still say from a male perspective how... What kind of traits would men look at that are welcomed is what I can probably provide to them. And to be fair, I can tell from my perspective is that if you had, for example, other partners in your life before, they're going to be inevitable challenges that you bring without knowing, right? You wouldn't know that you bring these challenges, but you still will, because you have been through a relationship and that left imprint on you, or like impact on you. And those impacts might challenge the current relationship, or that will be something that your man may not want in this frame or something. And you should be understanding. You cannot really do anything about it, but as far as you are aware of, as long as you are putting effort into being aware of when you're leaving your man's frame, because, for example, like these issues, I think you'll be fine. Excuse me. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is basically to pay attention and try to keep yourself in his frame, and I think you'll be okay. Yeah. So that's all. Awesome. That's all the advice I can give, I think.
No, that was great. Thank you for that. We're gonna drag the mystery man in, but you guys can stick around until we introduce him, and then when we start asking the questions, I'm gonna kick you guys out. All right, mystery man. Want to go ahead? Yeah. If you can mute yourself. Mr. Man, you want to go ahead and turn your camera on, introduce yourself? Okay. Oh, shit. What? Oh, shit.
What?
It's our very own Jack. It was Mr. Jack. Who's the mystery man.
And a whole new camera angle, too.
I know. So sexy. That side profile, guys? That was something off. Mr. Mystery Man, or should I say Mystery Man, can you please go ahead and introduce yourself? What do you do? How old are you? Are you cool? Are you not cool?
So, in case you didn't know, I'm Jack. I joined the Discord a little while ago. Verified ENTP, SDUF. 23, currently working just in a warehouse. I have a few things lining up. Am I cool? Via that, probably not.
Shut up, you're fucking awesome.
Yeah, no self-deprecation here. We don't do that.
No, I'm just accepting who I am.
All right, awesome. Yeah, if you want to share anything else, go ahead. Color, I'm going to have to boot you, bro. It was nice seeing you, though. You look very good.
It's okay, man. Goodbye, guys.
I love you, Color.
Yeah.
I love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's okay. I didn't have to kick him. He's a man of honor.
I miss him
already. Okay. I know, same. All right, Jack. We're going to get started. I'm going to ask you a question first. Also, to the audience, these questions were given to us by members of the Discord server. So if you don't like these, then maybe you should get on the Discord server and you should submit your own questions. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't want anyone whining in the comments about these questions being shitty or not. Okay? All right, man, questions for man. Mr. Jack, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Your first question is, under what circumstances is not obeying the man's leadership okay as per him? Do such circumstances exist at all?
If he has a solid frame, and he actually has a proper vision and proper devotion for the woman, I do not believe that there is a case. That is a very heavy weight, though, and I don't think I can name a man who has that level of dominance over his own life to dictate something like that. So the only times anything like that would be allowed, that kind of deviation, is if he is just being a man-child. And then that's for other men to decide, not the woman.
Okay, so you think there's no situation. So a woman should be following her man's lead in every situation, anytime that she can. You think there's no situation where there's an exception?
Yeah, that's why I had that caveat there. If it's a direct risk to her life, but we're going to talk about extremes there. In extremes, that disobeying is absolutely okay.
Okay, so if her life is under threat, that makes sense. Ladies, do you have any opinions, thoughts, concerns? Is there anything you want to say to that? I'll give you some time to think. If not, it's okay, because I'm going to ask you a question anyways. All right, cool. Question for the woman. And then I'm just going to call on each one of you. So when I call on your name, just go ahead and answer. And it'll probably be random each time. So. All right, we'll start with Anne. Your man asks you to do something that you find morally repulsive. You explain your convictions, but he remains firm. How do you act? That's going to be a tough one for FI Critic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will probably feel some things in that situation. Maybe frustration or even fear, because like, what will be the consequences of this thing? So I will express that to him. And then, yeah, I think he will take that into consideration. But at the end of the day, yeah, this man has been fed it, and I trust his judgment. So if he disagrees with me, then, yeah, I think I should trust his judgment in that. Like, I might be wrong. Yeah, and, you know, if he has the leadership in a situation, then that should be unconditional. Like, I can give my input on the situation, but I have to submit to him and trust him that he has our best interest in mind. So, yeah.
Okay.
I guess that
makes sense. All right, Gargi, do you want to go ahead and answer next?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
So my answer is quite similar to Anne. Since he's vetted, he's already vetted, so I don't think he will ask anything extremely atrocious or something like that. And that usually doesn't happen. So I'll try to see his perspective and follow his lead and see where it goes. Where I end up with that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And Jack, feel free to interrupt whenever you want, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you think there's something to say. Jesse, go ahead.
Something more really repulsive.
Yeah, so like you just, you know, like every, like he tells you to do something, you just feel like every fiber of your being is just like, I do not want to do this. But
I don't think that my father will choose for me somebody who lets me do the dirty work, like getting rid of somebody. Like, he will be the one who does it. He probably could or could not tell me about it, but he won't let me do it because I know my father, what kind of man my father likes, because he wants a man of integrity. And if he does tell me to do something that I find morally repulsive, then maybe, I don't know, because we have to look at the reasoning behind, at the intention behind why I have to do that thing. Like, why do I have to get rid of somebody? Is it because he's a bad person? Is it because, I don't know, you just don't like him? Like, whatever the reason, we have to look at the intentions first, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I like how your mind immediately jumped to getting rid of somebody. I like that.
Yeah.
But
some situations like that, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It happens. But so you're saying that if you're like the man you're with, you would have already been pre-selected as a person who wouldn't even put you in that situation to begin with.
Of course. Why should I marry him otherwise?
Okay. Makes sense.
If he asks me to do everything, you know?
What if he is? What if he does? The man your father chooses does do those things. What then?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Good question. What if he does? I'll probably ask my dad what to do about it, because in the worst case scenario, I'll divorce him, but I will consult my dad first, because he always gives me the logic, like he always explains to me maybe the reasoning why behind his actions. Yeah, I'll ask my dad, because he's the person to ask this question to, because he's also a man. And I don't know. Will I do it anyway? Probably not, because if it's something that I feel it's morally repulsive, then I won't do it because I don't want to regret anything in my life. But yeah, it depends on the intentions at the end of the day.
Jack, I have a follow-up for you. Would you be okay if your woman went to her father, if she was like iffy about you or iffy about your judgment, would you be okay if she went to your father to ask for advice and follow his judgment above yours in a situation like that?
That was something to happen. I would end up having a talk with a father, for sure. And depending on the outcome of that talk, if, say, he does prove to me that, okay, I was making a false judgment, then yes, it would be fine. But if it happens repeatedly, then no.
Right, because at that point, if she keeps doing it, then she's just putting... Like, your father's just a third party in your relationship, then.
Mm-hmm.
It's also kind of unacceptable. But every once in a while, it makes sense. Especially if you're trying to get rid of somebody. Which yeah.
But that deal. Means that my man is constantly putting me in a position to do something that is morally repulsive to me.
Okay. Which
is not good.
That's interesting. Alright, T-Tab, you can go ahead and answer next.
I did overthink this question too much, so.
Okay, we're here for it.
Okay, so I do understand the general sentiment of, following your man's lead and all that. I mean, yeah, I think it is a pretty valid way of conducting a woman's life within this paradigm. But the thing is, should I, as a person who's a philosopher, right? We have the reputation of philosophers being too okay with human sacrifices, sacrificing others so that they can get their philosopher's stone. Should I, as a philosopher, don't I have the responsibility on myself that I don't do it? Or, and plus I also have TI demon, right? So I have to be in touch with reality. I have to, if I do an action, then I should be the person who bears the responsibility for it, even though my man says that he will take the responsibility for it. I mean, I can't outsource the responsibility of my actions to other people. I mean, I could, because he's saying that he will take the responsibility, but should I? That's the question. And then, I'm not too sure about it, but then generally I would say that I would follow, because the thing is, okay, if action is immoral, we are not talking about differences in lifestyle. I mean, it's not the question of if the toilet paper should be up or down. It's a question of, morality deals something with, like, this people should not be taken advantage of, like, for example, like, that's a moral statement. So yeah, I think, yeah, so therefore this question is in a way tough. So, but then if I suppose exercise my independent judgment, and what if it is so wrong and I misunderstood my guy, again, a horrible situation. And then again, a lot of times, day-to-day morality is also very contextual. So therefore, I guess the best thing I can do is ask more questions to clarify and, to understand the situation more. And then, for most part, I think I'll be obeying the assignment, because, I mean... Yeah, I don't think I'll be put in such a dire sort of moral situation, because I trust the vetting team a lot. I think they'll be great in vetting whoever the person that comes across for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. That's a good answer. Jack, do you have anything to say to that? Or
I was gonna say same thing to Jesse. Even if the vetting team were to fail and you are put in that situation, what is your response to it?
What do you mean? Sorry.
No, I was talking to T-Tab. I was talking to T-Tab. T-Tab was supposed to.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, so if the vetting team fails, I mean, should it fail? I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's life. Mistakes happen. Yeah, YOLO.
Would you still follow?
But it depends on the act, I think. Yeah, I think it can be understood on a very case-by-case basis. And, like, suppose if it is just insider trading, right? It's, I don't know, it's not killing anybody. It's just, it's just giving very confidential information to your husband. I mean, I don't know. If it's killing somebody, yeah, I think that's hard.
So my women in here when y'all's first thought is killing someone.
I know, I mean, we watch too many crimes.
I mean, that's the only morally repulsive act, if you didn't know, Jack.
Yeah, well, getting rid of someone. Yeah, I mean, basically, violating somebody else's bodily autonomy, so. Yeah.
All right, cool. Those are all good answers. Before we move on to the next question. So for Jack, this is for Jack. Next question. To what extent does a man have ownership or stewardship of his wife? And is there an end limit if there is any?
So the extent is within his resources and within his kingdom. If she is representing him in public, if she is directly affecting his frame, his respect, anything that he owns within his own kingdom, then he has stewardship over her in that situation.
Okay. Ladies, any thoughts, opinions?
Can you, Jay, can you please repeat the question once?
Yeah, I can repeat it. So, to what extent does a man have ownership of his wife, and what is the end limit, if there is any? And Jack said, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't mind, my man having ownership of me in any situation, because if you ask it like that, it kind of sounds like, does she get to decide anything for herself? Or anything, but to me it just sounds like something really nice, because I know it will be in a loving way. So, yeah. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to any be other... owned by my man.
Okay. So, she's all in. So, Gargi, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's more of approval thing for me. Let's say I do take a decision on something, I can always seek his approval, right? Like, is this the right decision? He still has ownership over me in this case, I guess. But this is something I think I would do as a TV parent anyway. I do think that is the right decision, even if I do take some decision. And I do not want like unlimited freedom, right? I would like him to put some boundaries there for me. So I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Present options.
What about you, T-Tab? Would you be okay with being owned by your man? I'm just going to say it like that. Because that's what you guys are all accepting to. Huh?
I mean, okay. Yeah, I mean, okay, so... okay, it's... Yeah, okay, so it's not as much as about... okay, that's a good question. Like, to what extent can you own anybody? And after what point it becomes... it's just... Yeah. I mean, okay, so I think, yeah, I mean, in the general colloquial sense, I guess, I would like to be under some dude's guardianship and leadership. But to the point of owning things as much as they can be owned. Like, for example, say an object. Well, that's interesting point. And I don't think that you can, like, particularly own a person to the point of them, like, you know, to the point, to the extreme end. So, yeah, I think you can, I guess, own them to a human level of ownership. And that's, I think, fine.
So something that I came across recently as a really good way to explain this ownership is, imagine back in the old days, monarchies, there's a king and a kingdom. The man owns the women in his life like the king owns the peasants in the kingdom. They have free reign to do whatever they want as long as they do not disrespect the king or disrespect his kingdom.
I mean, okay, yeah, I mean, I can see your point. That's a really nice point. If you could, like, I mean, it really works well if it is an ideal scenario of sorts, like, you know, a king that's responsible towards his subjects and subjects accordingly being grateful. Yeah, I think that would work in an like, if we take the ideal form of it. Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Jesse? Do you want to be owned by your man?
It's a really strong word.
Oh, yeah, man. I know.
It's not like I'm an animal, you know? like, the example, Jack's example made me think that we are queens in his kingdom. He's the king. So if the king maybe gets sick, like, maybe the queen can take over some of his responsibilities for a while. And I believe that we should have some kind of respect between each other. Like, we trust each other, and it's not about ownership at all. Because it feels like we're stupid. We're incapable of thinking for ourselves, which is not. And of course, I believe that I will follow my king's lead, but I also want to be like some kind of trust between us. Like, he doesn't have to tell me everything about himself or his problems, but maybe I want to share a little bit of his burdens, you know, as the queen of his kingdom.
Okay, Jack, anything to say to that?
So was that a yes or no with having that level of ownership, if you aren't fine with that ownership, being a member of his kingdom? Because being a member of his kingdom means you have to respect him, his decisions, his choices, and his orders.
What if I don't disagree with some of the with some of his decisions? Like, can I disagree, or do I have to absolutely follow his lead? Like, I cannot put a word in there.
Now we're going to be getting into the polarity and the expression and judgment basis of that. You're absolutely, in this scenario, you of course are allowed to voice your complaints, voice your expression, voice what's going on. But at the end of the day, you have to trust what his judgment will be. Sometimes it'll be influenced by you, sometimes it won't.
Hmm. Yeah, of course. He's the one who makes these decisions, and it's his responsibility if something goes wrong. And if he doesn't want to do what I suggest him to do, then fine, do whatever you want. So yeah, basically, I'll follow his leadership. But I also believe that there should be some kind of trust between us.
Cool. Next question. I want to just get to this one first because I don't know how much time we'll have. So this is for the women. And the question is, what does a man being vulnerable mean to you? Do you want your man to express any emotions towards you? If so, how? If not, why not? And I'll start with T-Tab first with this one.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I don't mind it at all. A man being vulnerable to me, it can be, you know, letting me shoulder some of his responsibilities so that he can take a breather or collect himself or just take a break, relax for some time so that he can, like, you know, get back on it later on. Or then, or he could, like, just, I don't know, express his emotions to me. That's fine too. Or he could just tell me he was upset with me because I did something that was wrong. That's fine too. But I do feel more secure if it is done in a manner that's, I feel a bit more secure when it's, you know, it's somewhat like controlled in a way, and not necessarily stoic, but yeah, somewhat measured. I really love it. Like, I would feel secure when it's expressed calmly.
Right, so you don't want him to ball your eyes or his eyes out, right, in front of you. But if he's like just telling you, like, "Hey,
no,
I'm
no,
stressed."
I basically just don't want to be yelled at.
Yeah. Okay. So no anger or rage.
Yeah.
I mean that makes sense because technically, according to UCT, which is Universal Compatibility Theory, which if you don't know what that is, then sucks for you. But raging is actually technically feminine because it's connected to an extroverted function. So, let's see. Gargi, you can answer next. Do you like it when a man is vulnerable? And, like, what does it mean to you? Do you want your man to express any emotions towards you? No, yes.
It's a tricky question for me personally, because I think if you are human, you will have emotions. You can be stoic, of course. I think men need to be stoic in this world. It's just a fact. They just need to be stoic in this world in order to go through life. But there always will be moments when of vulnerability for them. And obviously, he will have male friends and male relatives, brothers, who he can share this with. But I do not want to be excluded from that. I do not want to be excluded from the people with whom he shares his worries and stuff like that. I won't be burdened by it. I don't think I will be burdened by it if he expresses his emotions and worries to me. As long as he doesn't attach an outcome of, like, solution from me. As long as the burden of solving the problem is on me. I can obviously express my opinions regarding this, the issue he's facing. And I really hope he does ask me for my opinions and stuff like that. But as long as he's not, like, totally relying on me for a solution, I'm completely fine with it. I would gladly listen to him. That is endearing to me.
Right, so it's fine if he expresses, like, if he's having a tough time or something, but you still want him to solve his own problems. Like, you don't want that burden on you, right?
I would like him to take my opinions, but not rely on me completely. I would.
Right.
I think I would feel pretty fearful if he does that. In case my solution works for him, very good. But I don't think that's something I want. But
okay.
Honestly, that kind of vulnerability is endearing to me. It's endearing.
Okay. Jesse, what about you?
Oh, yeah. Can you repeat the question? Because I was looking at the comments. Sorry.
No, you're fine. What does a man being vulnerable mean to you? And do you want your man to express any emotions towards you? If so, how? And if you don't want him to express any emotions, why not?
That's my dad, sorry.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, Dad.
I feel like we should be able to express emotions with each other. Like, I don't want him to be like a boss, a cold robot with me, because it's gonna be so boring and so, you know, There's no meaning in our relationship if he cannot express his emotions with me. At least that's how I feel. You know, maybe it's different from everybody else. Hello.
Okay, cool. And what about you?
We're almost closing half an hour. No, sorry.
You're fine, you're fine. You could I'm gonna ask Anne now so you can mute yourself.
Yeah. He doesn't have to tell me.
Yes, she has more to say. Huh? Do you have more to say? Jesse, do you have more to say?
Just one thing. Like, he doesn't have to share every emotion with me. But I would like it if he told me, like, maybe he had some financial problem at work. And if he told me these things that I need to know, and I can make a better decision. Like, if he doesn't tell me that he's got maybe some financial problems today, maybe tomorrow I go buy and spend so much money without even knowing that I did something bad for him. You know?
Okay.
Would you not have asked him?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Would you not have asked him prior to if you were going to go have a spending spree?
Well, he should tell me, because he's the man, you know? He is the one who leads.
Yes, but why do you need to know his finances?
Because maybe I'm taking care of the kids. Because maybe I have to buy some groceries, you know? But I have to ask him every time that I want, maybe, we need some water, we need some, you know, we lack something at home, at our house. I need something, like... I don't know. Do you want your woman to ask you every time permission to you know, buy a necessity like a pen or water, whatever?
This was a contextual thing. I think spending spree, I think of something completely other than essentials.
Right. But I was thinking of, like, clothes and stuff.
Well, I could be buying beef, you know? Steak, maybe. It's not cheap.
In your context, you are correct. My apologies there.
Oh, no, I don't apologize. You didn't say anything wrong.
Okay. Anne, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So, he is allowed to be a human. Humans have emotions. And for me, it's very important that I am a support to my man. So, if, you know, he lost his father, for example, and he's grieving because of that, and he needs me to support him in that situation, I will do anything I can. Make him feel good in that situation, really support him. But I would desire that there is a level of containment in the way that he shows his emotions. Like, I think especially that it's not shining through in, for example, a rage towards me. So that, like, I would desire that he would be mindful of his way that he was showing his emotions to me. And, yeah, but I think I would trust that. And if that would go wrong, again, I would express what I was feeling in that situation. And I will trust that things will, yeah, go well. That he will take that into consideration.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm glad all the women don't want their men to be robots. But Jack, makes sense. But Jack, would you, if you're ever frustrated or stressed, if you had any ecstatic emotion, would you ever express that to your woman? Stress. Overwhelmed, sad, depressed. List goes on and on.
Ideally, no. Obviously, I should have a support structure as well as other men in my life and other people in my life that I can express those extremes to. But at the moment, unfortunately, that is a burden that is falling upon my partner. As I, for the most part, I will express this kind of rage inwardly and take care of it myself, whether that be working out, just going somewhere, or 5 seconds of accelerating to 60 an hour on the street and then slowing back down. That usually helps. So ideally, no. But until that time does come, I can't say it won't leak.
Okay. So, like, let's say, like, you had a problem and then you handled it yourself. Like, would you, even afterwards, would you tell her, okay, like, I was dealing with this, but I feel better now? Would you say anything like that or no?
Oh, that is one of the times that I actually, a bit of my own personal pride comes out. Just like, hey, everything just fell apart and I fixed it. It's more of a happy emotion than a sad one at that point.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that makes sense. The reason I really wanted to ask this question is because I think there's like a big misconception where men aren't able to express their emotions at all. And I think there's two things wrong with that. One, if your man was never emotional, he would never express to you how much you mean to him. Right? Because he's not going to tell, if he's never emotional, he's not going to tell you how much he loves you. He's not going to spoil you. He's not going to make you feel special. Like, none of that's going to happen. That's one issue. So when usually when women say, I want my man to be emotional, usually that's what they're thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Is can this person make me feel special? Like, am I important to this person?
Not like me crying into your chest or anything.
Right. And the second issue is if UCT, going back to UCT again, mm-hmm. So again, if you don't know this, like, get on the Discord server, there's a channel dedicated to it, look at the pinned messages.
Mm-hmm.
But if the man is supposed to be introverted feeling, and he's the source of love and emotion and values, I think it's important for men to show women that they're in touch with their emotions, but they're not burdened by them. Because women, as extroverted feeling function, is primary for them. They wear their heart on their sleeves, and they need some sort of emotional support. They need some sort of emotional rock. If they can't see their man taking care of himself and his own emotional needs, how is she going to expect you to take care of her and her emotional needs?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on it. But yeah, we can move on. So,
sorry, you have the good, right, you have to have the bad, basically.
Exactly. Next question for the man. Let's see. I don't know, Sam, do you want to pick? I don't know if you have the questions up, but
I don't. Go for it.
Okay, I got you, I got you. Let's see.
UCT is also the November 2023 Journeyman Cutting Edge episode.
Yes, thanks for mentioning that. I cannot remember all those months. All right, so let's do this one. Jack, you're polygynous, correct?
Hmm. Yes.
Okay, so let's say you... So you're accepting another girl in your roster. What questions would you ask her that would set her apart from other women who want you? And how would you know she's worthy of entering your frame?
I would primarily ask for what kind of values they hold, whether that be familial, regards to human life, regards to the school system, things of that nature. Things that could either benefit or be a potential hindrance to my future. So, like, do you want to have is your desire to have your children in the school system or homeschooled? Is your desire to have all of the children be in a certain religion, or are you more freeing about it? Things of that nature. These will be minor ways of just verifying that they will follow my lead with that. And I know exactly how strongly they feel about different given subjects.
Yeah, so it's like more, you have to like decide based on, obviously the woman, her type. It's also like, oh, does she meet all these criteria? Would you ever like do any like, I think Chase calls them trust checks. Would you do any of those?
I have recently discovered that I do this subconsciously or unconsciously. No, trust checks are a big thing with me. If it is perceived by those around me that I'm going through something or there is a struggle that I'm dealing with, if that person assumes it, I am not going to give that person or let that person know when it is solved. It's something recently that I've had to deal with where there was a shortcoming I was dealing with and someone close to me was judgmental and assumed what was going on without asking me what was happening. And it gave them a very big dip in my respect for them. Because they did not ask questions of it. They assumed I was being slow. They assumed certain things about me without trusting me.
Makes sense. Ladies, any thoughts, feelings, opinions, concerns? Pretty good answer. All right, cool. We're approaching an hour, so I'm probably just going to ask one more question to the ladies, and then we'll probably cut it there. But this one's a good one, I think. So if your man contradicted your family's lifestyle, would you follow your man's lead or your family's lead? Now, let's assume you're already like with this person. Let's assume, like, your family loves them. Your man loves your family. It's all good. You know, but like, let's say your man had a change in conviction. Like he thinks like there's another course of action or something else you guys should do. Your family would disapprove of. Whose leads would you follow and why? And I'll start with Gargi on this one.
So I'm going back to that same statement I made for the first question, and that is, I'm married to this guy. That means I trust him. I married him because I trust him. So that's the one checkpoint to that question. Second of all, we are presuming that my family and him, they get along very well, right? So he has rapport with my family. Hopefully he trusts my family as well. Hopefully my family trusts him as well. So in that case, I think if my family has something to say about his decision, I'll listen to them. If he is open to taking suggestions from them, fine. Because I certainly am open to taking suggestions from my family, from my dad, from my uncle's aunt. If they have something to say, I'll listen to them. If I think any of them are valid points, I'll communicate it to my husband. But the final decision lies with him, and whatever he is trying to do, it's probably I'm gonna follow him. I'm gonna follow his marriage to him, not my family.
Okay, awesome. What about you, Anne?
So, we'll be following my man. For me, it's the obvious answer, and I must say, to be honest, that I kind of learned to not care that much about my family's judgment in general, because I was always scared of what my family would think about everything. But I realized that, like, right now, the only person whose judgment really matters in my family is my dad. But once I, like, submit to a man, the only person's judgment that really matters is his. So basically, it's as simple as that. And maybe it's me, but I cannot really think of a situation where I would find my family's thing so important, like more important than his leadership. Maybe if somebody told me a scenario and it would be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But, you know, that leadership is important to me. So there you go.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, and so for anyone who doesn't know in the audience, the actually one of the things we teach the cartel women is they mention the word vetting, and basically what that does is they should be outsourcing their judgment, because women have inferior judgment compared to men. The women have better perception, but they should be outsourcing their judgment to respectable men who could help them pre-select or vet men before they enter a relationship with those men. And that is, they're demonstrating a good example of that. They obviously have good knowledge of it. But it's really important, because there's so many relationships and so many women, I'm sure many of you know, where they get into a relationship with a guy, women get into a relationship with a guy who's doing drugs or getting rid of someone, you know? And you don't want to be with someone like that, right? So if you are putting, as a woman, if you are putting yourself in a position where 10 years down the line, your man ends up becoming a loser and makes a bad decision, you're to blame for that too. You can't just point the finger at him. You did not choose to reject him beforehand. One, because you made a shitty judgment, and two, because you didn't outsource it to someone who did have better judgment. So you got to blame yourself for that too. You got to take responsibility. Learn to take the L's. So, Sorry, another rant. But T-Tab, you can go ahead and answer.
Yeah, I would follow my man's lead. Because yeah, if I wasn't okay with his lifestyle or his choices, then I should not have chosen him. Right? I should not have agreed to follow him. So yeah, if I've agreed to it, then yeah.
Awesome. Jesse.
I feel like this is a difficult question to answer. Because I recently came across a video. Oh, sorry. A call. I came across a video from PsychHacks. And he said that women's loyalty goals is unbelievable, because if women really fall in love with somebody, they will even kill somebody, okay? Let's use that as an example here. Like, they will do anything for them, and they will even forsake their own family. But I kind of disagree with this, because my family is really important to me. Because if I wouldn't want to fall in love with a man that lets me say goodbye to my family, because if he loves me, then he should also respect my family, the family that raised me up. And it kind of depends, because life is, you know, you don't know what will happen to you. Like, maybe you marry somebody who your family vetted for you, the right man for you, but then one day suddenly he changes his belief system. And what should you do? Like, do you have to change your own belief system, follow him because he's your man, or what? Because maybe in 10 years from now, you'll have, like, children, you're married now, and he changes his belief system, like, what should you do? Like, it's difficult to answer this question, because you have to think about your own happiness and the happiness of your children. Because you grew up with doing these things, you are used to this lifestyle, and now suddenly, what's the right thing to do? Because maybe our man's choice will be the best choice for us. Maybe we'll be happier at the end of the journey, but I don't feel so, maybe, because from what I've seen, like, forcibly changing your own habits, it doesn't feel good, you know? You're not, I don't think that most people are going to be happy with it. So, because maybe the man puts himself above tribe, okay? But then you also have to think about the happiness of your family, you know? Just, I want my family to be happy. And, yeah.
Right, you're trying to be tribe above self. Jack, do you have anything to say? Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to stop asking questions because we all know people don't have good attention spans anymore. So an hour is already cutting it too long, you know? Especially with the TikTok generation. So,
yeah, I've been out of it.
All right. Yeah, I know, right? So,
great answers, ladies and Jack. Now, we move on to the King and Queen round, or the qualification round. See, now that the frame was presented to the ladies, they get to choose, hey, I like this man, I would submit to his hypothetical frame. And then, Jack, on the other hand, gets to look at those ladies that do agree to it and go, yes, you are a worthy woman, you can enter my frame. Now, what happens for the ladies that do get accepted into his frame, that want to be in his frame, they'll get the queen role. And then, of course, Jack, our great king, will get the king role in our Discord. Join our Discord.
I'm going to go ask the woman first. So, ladies, and I'm going to call on you one by one. Would you submit to... It doesn't have to be Jack. It doesn't have to be Jack specifically, but like just the way he was presenting himself, what he talked about, his thoughts and ideas. Would you submit to a man like Jack, or would you expect something more, or do you want something different? So I'll start with how I started in the beginning. So I'll do Anne first. Be honest.
I would say
don't
yes.
Lie.
Yes.
Don't lie to me.
Yes. Just yes. Because I feel Jack is very responsible and devoted in the way that he approaches things. Like I've seen him in the community in general, how he approaches things. I can really respect that.
Awesome. Yeah. Gargi?
From what I have heard from him, I feel he's very, like Anne said, he's very responsible and he's very smart too. I think I would, but I also can express this. I feel that he could also like open up a bit more, like stoicism to the max. It doesn't always need to be that way. It's like I said, like it can be endearing sometimes if you share your problem, or if you fixed something and you share that, like you share your experiences and all, that's also fine, I guess. But overall, yeah.
Okay, cool. Jesse?
I don't know, I feel like I should probably get to know him more, like his own boundaries more, before making a decision. Because right now it's probably a no, not because I don't like him, I hate him or anything, but I just feel like I have to get to know a person better to make that decision. And also, ask my dad what he thinks about him.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Of course.
Yes, that's also important. Ketab.
Yeah, I mean, I would love my spouse to have some of those qualities that Jack has. I mean, who doesn't love a responsible spouse? I don't know. I guess I'd be a spouse to such sort of man.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Jack, congratulations. You got some W's. But, hope everyone doesn't win this time. So, Jack, who would you choose? I mean, you can choose everyone if you want.
Yeah.
Like, I have no jurisdiction over that. But is there a specific out of these ladies, who do you think would fit your frame well?
Top of the list, always. Then.
Or if you want, you could also rank them if that's easier.
I'm trying to figure something else like that. So, in regards to this, Anne would be ranking one regarding this. It was a lot of her answers very short, sweet, and just in line with everything I need, at least of right now. I'm on a journey towards my own self-improvement and that level of trust and submission is something that I desire greatly. Second would probably be Gargi. She is a little bit more hesitant and a bit more a lot of things depend with her, but she was also rather short and sweet with most of her answers, and I like the value that she has with her man over her family, as much as family does matter. Third.
Can't decide. They can both be third.
Yeah. No, that's what I was about to say. T-Tab and Jesse would definitely both be about equal. The hesitancy to submit and follow their man, I can see is... It's something that I don't look for, but I can understand. Like, especially with Jesse needing to follow her man and T-Tab being able to see, like, yeah, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? It was hard to gather things out of her informative responses. But with where I am in life, that is not what I need.
Yeah, I know. That makes sense. Cool.
Let's hear it for our king and queens. We got a Jack, our king, and a Micah as a queen, and Gargi as a queen. Yeah.
Let's see. Do I have anything else to say? Well, one thing is thank you. Thank you for all the people who decided to participate. I really appreciate it. Thank you for putting your applications in, putting yourself out there. It's really nice. And thank you for being a good sample to the community. To the audience, if you want to talk any of the sexuality stuff, any of the relationship stuff, you want to get in on the drama, please join the Discord server. Someone will probably link it in the live chat or the description. And also, if you want to apply to be on this show, someone will also post a link of that in the description for the live chat as well. So the more people you can encourage to apply to this and the more people that you can encourage to participate, the more entertaining and the more useful this show will become. So the wider pool of applicants that we have, the better it will become. So please put yourself out there or recommend someone to put themselves out there. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And Sam, I wrote down on my notes or on the outline that I love you, but like that was just like for you. But do you have anything to say?
Love you, Sam.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say? Anything else to add before we end it? Awesome. Cool. Well, we will see you guys next season then. Everyone, wave bye. Bye to the audience.
I'm gonna get some rest. Oh, yeah, and Jesse's an ISFP. Congratulations on your verification. If you would like to be a contestant for Young Love, there is a link in the description below. I highly recommend you join. Also, Discord.
Say hi to me.